1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News Trump assassination attempt. I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump is heading to Milwaukee today, writing on social media he would not allow a would-be assassin to change his schedule for the Republican National Convention. As President Biden again condemned Saturday's shooting, he announced,
I've directed the head of the Secret Service to review all security measures for the Republican National Convention, which is scheduled to start tomorrow.
He's also ordered a review of what led up to the shooting in western Pennsylvania. President Biden will address the nation from the Oval Office tonight. FBI Director Christopher Wray told reporters the shooting was an attack on our democracy. And two students who were members of the high school rifle team at the time tell ABC the suspected shooter sought to join the team but was rejected and asked not to return. Both said Thomas Crooks was a bad shot. This is ABC News. The Israeli army says it killed one of two Hamas military leaders in a strike Saturday in Gaza. The fate of a second targeted in the strike is still unclear.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says it's, quote, still not certain if Mohammed Def is dead. That after the Israeli army tried to assassinate the number two leader in Hamas in Gaza. The massive Israeli airstrikes in the Al-Mawasi humanitarian zone, killing at least 90, local officials say, including women and children. Hamas denying Def was killed. He's long been on Israel's most wanted list for his role in suicide bombing attacks in the 1990s and helping to plan the surprise October 7th attack. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Actress Shannon Doherty's died at 53. She was best known for starring in Beverly Hills 90210 and Charmed. She had spent most of the last decade battling cancer. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Credit scores affect a lot. Mortgages, renting a place, car insurance rates. Some employers even check credit scores before hiring people. So last month, Consumer Reports and Work Money got thousands of people to check their credit reports for errors and tell us what they found. The results were shocking. Almost half of the participants found a mistake on their credit report. That's a lot of mistakes. About a quarter found serious errors that could damage their credit score, and about a third found errors about their personal information, like name or address. So, go to annualcreditreport.com, get copies of your credit reports, they're free, and take a look at yours. If anything is off, let the credit agency know right away. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People have been seeing the stars at the historic Yerkes Observatory near Lake Geneva for 125 years. Now, it's taking on a whole new meaning. Mark Richardson explains.
After the University of Chicago transferred ownership to the Yerkes Future Foundation in 2020, the venue added poet laureates, Grammy winners, NASA sculptors, Pulitzer Prize-winning authors, and composers and artists to the astronomy program. Walt Chaddick, Yerkes Director of Programs, says people are just beginning to get used to the transition.
Yes, we are doing classic observing. Yes, we're doing research. Yes, we have interns and astrophysicists and astrophotographers on staff. But we were kind of become this peculiar center that is connecting astronomy to art.
Located just outside of Milwaukee, the observatory has been in use since 1887 and has been used over the years by astronomers, astrophysicists, and other scientists to explore the cosmos. The grounds include the observatory, laboratories, workshops, and libraries, with walking trails around the grounds' 50-acre site. Chaddick says artists have tapped the center's collection of 175,000 photographic glass plates with images of the cosmos.
I've seen people go up to those photographs and go, ugh, modern art. And then they start to read the captions next to the pieces, and they go, whoa, that's a constellation I know.
The observatory has been used by famous scientists such as Albert Michelson, Edwin Hubble, Carl Sagan, and Albert Einstein. The observatory is open to the public Thursdays through Mondays for tours and exhibits. Visiting the grounds is free. Reservations for tours and special events can be made online at yerkesobservatory.org. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms out there for today. We'll see mostly sunny skies in between and highs in the upper 80s, a west wind. Tonight, one or two showers and storms. Lows will drop to near 70 degrees. It's 87 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigvi Olsen. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
This week, Mino and the mayor celebrated 1 year on the air out of their studio in Green Bay. We go first to them on this week's Civic Media Spotlight. They get lots of great texts from listeners congratulating them on their year on the air, and also many a question about the party that Jim planned for their anniversary.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy Wednesday to you, everybody. More than that, happy anniversary, Mr. Mayor.
To you, Mr. Mino, this has been...
To Todd.
To Todd.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Todd.
Yes.
We would not be sitting here if it wasn't for Todd.
I was not here a year ago.
I know, but we were.
Thank you, Todd, for showing up, because this would be a quiet time if you didn't show up.
I think I was in the studio like 3 days later, though, wasn't I?
I don't know. We went through two people before you.
I think I came in like to try and...
Oh, my God. Save it. Here we are. So just for the listeners, and I don't know if there's anyone who listened a year ago today, but a year ago today, Johnny and I came on the radio and started our show, and I was... talking to my wife last night. She goes, I remember how nervous you were, because I had never done radio. Johnny, of course, 40 years. And we got here, and it was out of Madison then, wasn't it? They were calling us from Madison.
You
guys are going on in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had all these notes and flow charts. If this doesn't go, we'll
I remember I had arrows. You have a note, and you have an arrow pointing that, and I circled, and another one going down this way and circled.
If yes, go here. If no, go there.
Right. Exactly. That's just me. And Johnny's looking out the window. And I'm like,
I was like cleaning my nails.
Right. I'm like, we're coming on pretty soon.
Anyway, what do you think has been the highlight of the year? If we have any texters out there that have been with us basically from the beginning, tell us about the highs and lows, what you've experienced with our show.
We'll leave the lows out.
Either way, sometimes the lows are the most
fun. But speaking of the lows, though,
you know what? When I get together with my old radio people, do we talk about the great highs? Yeah. What do we talk about? The lows.
So as do we when we bring the band back together at the city hall, it's like the lowest. Council meetings.
Absolutely.
Like, do you remember that when you flew off the handle? It's like, yeah, I sure
absolutely.
Do.
So if anybody's listening, right. Let us know what you remember of the highs or lows from the show, or the best guests or anything like that. Right. Text us, please.
And you know, it was almost a year yesterday, but yesterday I may have made a tactical mistake, and you jumped on me. Listen to the show, but we were talking about Carly Simon was 81.
Got a nice text. Happy anniversary to you guys.
All right, we're happy,
Lisa. I thank you, Lisa.
And then I just want to say that I was thinking about this yesterday. So then we talked about Linda Ronstadt, and I said, boy, there's...
But problems.
I said, and you guys just both jumped on me big time.
Well, like, we not both just, love Linda Ronstadt.
Well,
we,
no, but, okay. Okay,
Linda Ronstadt, back, okay, but we talk album covers. Okay, Carly Simon album cover with the tank top or whatever, the big floppy cap, and Linda Ronstadt with the rollerblades and knee socks, Todd.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. I maybe didn't see that.
I think you were thinking of Janis Joplin, maybe?
You know what? That's who I was thinking of.
Okay.
They're about the same age.
Yeah.
One heavy on heroin.
Yes.
And
killed her.
And had a very promiscuous sex life.
Yes.
Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, and they, I don't know that they look a lot alike, but they don't.
No,
they look
not at nothing, all. Nothing, no. Nothing, nothing.
Well, they both
nothing.
Have brown hair. I just want to say, you guys, a little different. It's not like one was black and one was white.
Everybody with brown hair looks
well,
the same.
I just want to say,
wow.
But they were the same age. It was within a couple of years. So anyway, yes, they were.
Same era.
Same era. That's better. And I want to say that Linda Ronstadt, though, she was with Moonbeam for a while, wasn't she? That crazy governor of California?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a little, that's a little weird.
What's his name?
Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown. You're right.
Remember him?
Did he? No, he's not the one that got caught on that yacht with somebody else. Was it where it said, like, fun times or kinky times? Remember the name of the boat was something? He was going to run for president.
Oh, yeah.
And then it had, remember the name of the boat? There's a picture of him and that, like, I think a girl that worked for him, a hot blonde, sitting on his lap. Oh, what was the name of the boat? It was, like, so apropos.
That didn't sound like, well, I don't know.
Was that Jerry Brown?
I don't know that.
No? Okay.
Usually those East Coast guys like the yachts. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to, I wasn't all wrong, is what I'm saying.
No, you weren't all wrong, Jerry. They have brown
but not
hair.
Right, you know. Yeah. You know.
Even
right.
Though Linda Ronstadt, or, I mean, even though Janis Joplin didn't really have brown hair.
Was.
But you're right. You're
it
right,
was
right.
Janis Joplin. That's who I was thinking of. Okay, so I'm done. All right, I just wanted to, that was my one mistake of the year.
Who am I thinking of, though? The guy, it killed his chances to be president. Yeah, Gary Hart.
Gary Hart, yeah.
Gary Hart.
He was a West Coast guy, you're right.
But then what was the name of the boat? It was like something that was like, oh, my God, it couldn't be worse for him.
Well, then it got worse for him.
Did it then? Well, he had to drop out.
Well, no, but didn't he?
There was somebody else with that, right? Who was it?
With the intern?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, an intern, too?
Somebody flopped. Was it? I don't know.
What?
Yeah, no.
All right. The monkey business was the name of his boat.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Okay.
You don't want to vote for somebody that is a boat.
Right. Yeah, it's Gary Hart.
We got some text here. The best part, the extra hour. Another one, Oktoberfest.
Well, isn't that nice of you saying the extra hour?
No, yeah, because that was. They didn't say whether that was a positive or negative. That was at a high or low. Right?
All right, make
it
an assumption.
But it does have exclamation points. Congratulations, guys. Got that. Got another one. Okay, I have one, the high point. I really think the conversation with Kristen Lyerly about prostate cancer in women is a high point.
And if you don't remember that.
That's when John asked her, have you had your prostate out? And she's like, what?
I told you that not, before. I don't know women's body parts.
I thought the question was, do women get prostate cancer?
Oh, that's
cancer?
What it was. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That was funny. That's a good listener.
Thank you, people. Please keep them coming. Let us know what's been the high point or low point of our year.
But, I was telling these guys before the show, I met with a potential advertiser yesterday and very much enjoys the show. And he goes, what I like about you guys is sometimes retail people, even though they may have their own personal beliefs, you got to kind of stay out of controversial things, you know, like politics. And they may have gotten off another show that they were on before because the guy went too rogue. And he just said, I just really enjoy
it. Well, you represent them.
Yeah. And he said, look, they're going to do something with us, and it'd be fun to announce them, but hopefully in the next week or two.
Great.
We got a great text from Sheila. She says, I'm so happy you two decided to start a show. It's what I look forward to each morning, especially Mondays. It gets my day going. I love how different Mino and the mayor are from each other. Great together, like peanut butter and jelly.
Thank you, Sheila.
Well, isn't that
That's
nice?
Very nice of you.
I thought it
very
was
nice.
Oil and vinegar, but no, it is. It's we are two different people, though. I mean, and we've known each other for what? 20,
oh my God,
20 years.
Forever since you were first.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet we didn't know each other.
Todd and I are both laughing at text that just came through. We want you to read this one, Jim.
Wait, out of my glasses.
Go on.
It says, morning, men. Jim, congratulations. It looks like you've made it. What time is the helicopter dropping by?
Give it the bell, Todd.
All right. That one gets the bell. That's... All right. Oh, man.
When's the ping pong drop?
That was a good idea.
That was a great idea.
No,
Oh my God. We got to tell this story, though, Todd. So this morning, I'm walking on the sidewalk here.
Yeah.
To come to the store, and there's Jim heading That way, north.
North.
On Washington Street. It's like, why are you heading away from the studio, Jim? And I come in, I said, okay, this is weird. I think I just saw Jim driving the opposite direction, and now he's turning around? What? Tell it why, Todd.
Well, because when I pulled up this morning to park where we normally park, just on City Deck Court here, there's a row of spots right next to the
meters.
Station. Yep. They were all bagged off. And I realized at that point, at about 5:15 this morning, that it was part of Jim's idea for the ping pong ball drop.
For the anniversary party, the helicopter, so nobody can park there today.
That's why they're bagged off.
Yes.
Sent that in.
Yes.
So I'm in my office and I see Jim pull up, and then I see him immediately turn around and go down the street.
I thought they were maybe painting the lines. Oh, that is.
Oh, is that a classic? Oh, that one will live that, in infamy.
Well, at least the city listens to us.
Oh, know? My God.
And that was a while ago. I sent it to him. I said, block off because we're going to have a.
But the funny part is, no, you can't park there. Right?
You got to park out there.
All right. We can take the bags off.
Oh,
we
should... that is phenomenal.
DPW listens to us. So you guys come take the bags off. Oh, damn. That would have been good, though. All right, I'm going to save it for our 5-year anniversary.
That'll be great.
Okay.
I was wondering when I drove it, I didn't see Todd's car. I thought, and then I see they're all bagged off. I'm like, oh, I wonder what that's for.
So, but did you just realize now that
yes,
that's the
right? I did. I just realized. It just came to me. It's like, oh, that's why.
That's beautiful. Yeah. If anything sums up our 1 year,
it's that right?
He biatches and complains. Because every day he can't find a quarter to turn out there to fill the meter. And today he doesn't have to because he got the city to shut them all down. And they did such a great job that even he can't park there.
Oh, God.
Oh, you could have parked there for free today. That would have been their anniversary.
You should go park there.
I could. Yeah.
See what they say.
No, we're the ones
who
blocked
buddy.
Out.
These are closed off.
Just
the mayor wants the ex-mayor wants these all closed off. Yeah. I am the ex-mayor. Sure you are, buddy. Oh, my God.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, next year we'll do it. But anyway, it is a year. It's been a year. It's been great. I mean, when you were a kid, and maybe Todd, thought you might be in radio or TV.
Yep.
I did. You know what?
Never did.
When I was a junior in high school, we all had to do a vocation or career type thing. Yeah. And, you know, huge report, had a job shadow, like, you know, whatever. And mine was being a radio disc jockey.
That's pretty cool that your parents supported you, and I think they did, but to do that. And I think sometimes kids come up with stuff, and the parents are like, no money in that.
I never thought I was going to be on TV. Not in a million years.
I don't believe that.
Oh, no.
In theater.
But I didn't have that TV look.
I was talking to the...
Back in those days...
Oh, I don't know,
they
John.
Had that look. That,
oh, you're always bragging about how you look like Bob Dylan or whatever.
Well, I'm not sure there's a lot of people on TV that want to look like Bob Dylan. Wow.
That is true.
Yeah. That's really true. Wow. Right. What did you want to be?
I like... Well, actually, back then, Johnny...
Wait a minute. Todd, we're going to hit to a quick break. You got to play a song from the exact era when I was doing that.
This is good. To who?
WOLD.
I'll get that.
When we come back, we'll play that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I want to be. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to set a break.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight-line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Pat marks the second anniversary of the repeal of women's rights preserved by Roe v. Wade, and then reviews several GOP candidates who are decidedly on the wrong end of the issue.
I actually don't know much about the band Cake, but I know this song, and I like it very, very much. John McRae is 60 years old today. From Tony and Hayward up on Facebook, a Grand Slam is one of the best things in all of sports. Yes, no denying it. Here's the call from Reese Hoskins last night. At least once he steps to the plate, he's knocking the dirt off his cleats.
Now it's playing a commercial. I hate technology.
Everything's got to be a pre-roll.
Nobody out.
I love a good Grand Slam.
Just amazing.
It was. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's check on some of the headlines here. What did I miss yesterday while I was away getting back into town? Well, the big thing, of course, was the two-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision, which was, I'm not going to say anticlimactic, but again, the decision had been leaked. And everybody has their own theories because nobody ever proved who did it. I choose to sympathize with those who say it had something to do with Justice Alito, who is the most political beast on the court, who wanted to basically, you know, test the waters, take the temperature. But, it also could have been folks from the left side as well. But people thought, oh, is this really going to happen? Is this really going to happen? And then it did. 2 years ago today, this Supreme Court revoking a constitutionally protected right to privacy as identified by a prior U.S. Supreme Court 49 years earlier. Since that time, in election after election after election, especially whether it's special elections to Congress or statewide votes to restore or protect women's reproductive health rights, the people have spoken and said that what this court did in the Dobbs decision was wrong. And that now, like it or not, there's going to be this generation-long battle to restore women's rights that should have been protected, should be codified into law. And so it will play a role. It's played a role in past elections. It's going to play a role in this and every future election until it's restored. And there's really no two ways about it, because they will be restored. This country is simply not going to allow itself to slide into a theocracy where one particular religious view of controlling women and their bodies will be allowed to take root. But until then, it's going to be up to voters to turn out every single time. And that's going to include several races for legislature here in the state of Wisconsin. For example, you've got in the new 8th State Senate District, you've got Democrat Jody Habesh-Sinikin taking on Republican Dewey Strobel, who voted against repealing the 1849 ban that was in statutes shortly after Wisconsin became a state. Dewey Strobel voted in favor of a 14-week abortion ban. But here, to me, is the one that is most egregious. Dewey Strobel was the only no vote when the Senate, on a vote of 32-1, voted to extend postpartum Medicaid coverage for new moms and babies. Currently, that health care coverage for new moms runs for 60 days. There are now only three states at 60 days. The other 47 have taken advantage of a federal funding to have coverage for new moms for 1 year after birth. But it's still not the law in Wisconsin. Not just because Dewey Strobel was the only one to vote against it in the Senate, but because despite having enough co-sponsors in the assembly to pass, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss would not allow it to come up for a vote. So two middle-aged rich white guys, Dewey Strobel and Robin Voss, said, nope, we know what's best for women. And what's best for women is that they not have the security of health insurance coverage for their moms and babies. We'd rather see a 14-week abortion ban. We'd rather see this 1849 statute seen as an abortion ban. And they, of course, celebrated the Dobbs decision. So when Jody Habersinikin runs against Dewey Strobel in the 8th Senate District, she's got some things to talk about that are going to resonate with voters. Same goes for the 14th State Senate District, now represented by Republican Joan Baldwin, who has said that, quote, I believe life begins at conception, and that even if it is started in a terrible way, that's still life. If a woman is raped and it results in a pregnancy, that person who raped her was terrible, but she wasn't. Well, maybe she, the rape victim, wasn't terrible, but according to Joan Baldwin, she also doesn't deserve the right to make her own choices about what to do with her body. Baldwin has co-sponsored a fetal personhood amendment that would grant embryos the same rights as people, basically outlawing all abortion care and threatening IVF, in vitro fertilization treatments. She's being challenged by Sarah Kayeski, the Democratic candidate in the 14th Senate District, and a rural mental health care provider who said that reproductive rights are an important issue to her and will definitely be part of the campaign in this district that now includes the seat north of Madison, parts of Dane, Richland, Columbia, Sauk, Juneau counties. Out in western Wisconsin, you have the new 30th Assembly District, represented for quite some time now by Republican Shannon Zimmerman. He is being opposed by Allison Page, Democratic candidate who is a nurse, hospital administrator, and CEO of Western Wisconsin Health. That new district covers parts of western Wisconsin in the River Falls area. Allison Page has talked about her own health issues in a 1982 pregnancy that necessitated abortion care, a deeply personal issue for someone who had three children at the time and who told the Wisconsin Examiner, we should not be going back to a world where someone else feels like they should get to judge a woman's decision. That's not a good world for families, and that's not a good world for women, she told the Wisconsin Examiner. So in these cases and so many more, the Dobbs decision repealing Roe v. Wade, which occurred 2 years ago this week, is very much going to be a factor. You could probably expect something of a question of that nature to come up on Thursday night as well, in the first of what are supposed to be two debates between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. Civic Media News Director and Midday host Todd Alba will anchor Civic Media's coverage of the 90-minute debate starting at 7:30 on Thursday evening. A Biden spokesman says Trump will finally have to answer in a fair forum for ripping away Americans' freedoms, promising billionaire donors tax cuts, and threatening democracy with promises to rule as a dictator if he wins, or violence if he loses. Hans Breitenmoser joins us next. You're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is a special report from ABC News Trump assassination attempt. I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump is heading to Milwaukee today, writing on social media he would not allow a would-be assassin to change his schedule for the Republican National Convention. As President Biden again condemned Saturday's shooting, he announced,
I've directed the head of the Secret Service to review all security measures for the Republican National Convention, which is scheduled to start tomorrow.
He's also ordered a review of what led up to the shooting in western Pennsylvania. President Biden will address the nation from the Oval Office tonight. FBI Director Christopher Wray told reporters the shooting was an attack on our democracy. And two students who were members of the high school rifle team at the time tell ABC the suspected shooter sought to join the team but was rejected and asked not to return. Both said Thomas Crooks was a bad shot. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose to the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals Saturday, 6-5. Milwaukee had jumped out to an early 5-0 lead in the bottom of the first, but never scored again. Manager Pat Murphy.
Game doesn't let you do that sometimes, you know what I mean? The game treats you bad. It's kind of all came together for us with the same type of wins we had. The other teams are beating us that way. They're young, nothing to lose, playing free.
Washington manager Davey Martinez on how the Nationals offense came alive, finally.
Our bats were really good. You know, we didn't chase as much. We got the ball in the zone. Everybody made good contact today.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Bulls 96-89. In Summer League action, first-round draft pick A.J. Johnson with 13 points. How do you feel after his first game in the NBA?
It felt great, actually, just to be out there. Had my first NBA game. It's nothing like it. There's no other feeling like it. But I definitely wish I could have got the win. You know, it was definitely a good experience, for sure.
That's the Bucks' A.J. Johnson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise partly cloudy and a low around 70. Showers and thunderstorms Monday, a high near 87. Monday night, scattered showers and storms. Those will come to an end. We'll have a low around 67. For Tuesday, lots of sunshine and 82.
Right now, it's 87.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot for a look at the forecast for the weekend. Brian Kuklinski swings in from the Green Bay Rockers.
Then we'll play a round of Who Are You? That'll be fun.
Well, that's debatable. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we go to Matt Nair on Air. Jane and Greg were joined by Maggie Dawn to take a deeper dive into Project 2025 and to help lay out specifics on what will happen if Trump gets a second term.
Well done, Calvin. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to ruin on a daily basis. Excited to be joined by our friend and colleague, Maggie Dawn. You can catch her show every weekday, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to continue our conversation about Project 2025. We started off the hour playing a clip of Kevin Roberts, who is the president of the Heritage Foundation. He was on MSNBC over the weekend talking to the former head of the RNC, Michael Steele, about what this would do and how this will drastically, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn that I wanted to share. And I'm sorry, Lynn, but I don't know. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. Should I be applying for a passport? I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary.
And we want, you know, we want anyone getting scared, getting a passport and moving away. Maybe, I don't want to say after the fact, but what we're trying to do is bolster your need to vote, to tell your friends to vote, to talk to people. This is a, like, we're having this conversation with each other, with you, the listener. Next step is to take this information, do some more research, and take it on to the next people, whether it's the people who you agree with, just to give them more information, or have those really hard conversations between now and November with those individuals, family, friends. You know, this is what we're trying to do now. We're not trying to, the goal is not to scare you.
It's to inform you.
Yeah.
Really, knowledge is power. And that's why we're trying to break this down and explain what this would mean, especially when we're talking about firing more than, Kevin Roberts said, more than 50,000 civil employees.
Yes.
Scientists. People who work for the FDA.
Yeah.
People with expertise and decades of expertise. We're going to get rid of them and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything. Right?
He's a bridge inspector.
We can just put him in.
But he's not. Like, there's this fundamental problem, right, that is baked into Project 2025. And it assumes that, well, of course, we're right about everything. And most really good politicians, most really good leaders that I know actually will make decisions with some idea that, like, what if I'm wrong and what are the potential negative consequences if my worldview or my policy isn't correct? Like, who might this hurt? What bad things could happen? In fact, that's how the best decision-making occurs. My job is a lawyer. I've done it for nearly 15 years in government. I did it for, like, nearly a decade on Wall Street. My job was to make sure that my clients understood potential unexpected negative consequences of different, not just in a courtroom or in a deal, but like, what might this do to your operations? What might this do to morale? What might this do to your overall mission? Good decisions always will allow for, and people will be willing to talk about, hey, if this doesn't work like you think it might, again, here's who this is going to hurt. Here's what it might cost. And so when we start to look at what organizations like the Heritage Foundation and certain industries that are under a lot of pressure, read pharma, big pharma, and big oil. What those organizations are willing to do is they're willing to paint a picture for conservatives out there that, like, don't worry, we're of course right, and we won't talk to you about any of the potential negative downsides if we might be wrong, even to a degree. And it's painted this false choice, right? And that, to me, is what is really dangerous, because by painting this false choice, they're convincing people on the right that the only way to proceed in our America, our shared America, is by adopting the most extreme versions of everything. So when Jane and Greg are talking about they're going to get rid of the civil service and federal government and replace it with political hacks that don't have the necessary expertise, that sounds like, oh my gosh, that's extreme. But that's the point. By creating a false choice, they push people to an extreme, and they don't disclose to any of you voters what the potential negative downsides should be. And guess what that is in nearly every other facet of our life? Fraud, right? And misrepresentations. When you buy a stinking chainsaw, it says, like, careful, might cut off fingers. Project 2025 should come with a warning label that says, careful, might destroy democracy.
Well, and Kevin Roberts was on, and I can't remember which program this was, but it was a far right show. And he essentially said, all of our plans aren't in the published Project 2025.
Of course they wouldn't be.
We're not going to tell the Democrats everything that we plan to do. So if you think this stuff is bad, imagine how much worse the stuff that they are not sharing with us about the effects of Project 2025.
You couple that with presidential immunity, which will be granted in some way, shape, or form by the gerrymandered kangaroo Supreme Court that Donald Trump constructed to protect himself from any accountability. You couple that immunity, right, with even if a fraction of what Donald Trump has said on the campaign trail is true, things like I'm going to be a dictator, at least on day one, and I will go after my political enemies.
And the media.
I'm going to dismantle the First Amendment. I'm going to sell environmental regulations to the biggest big oil bidder, plus Project 2025. If even just a fraction of that stuff happened, I'm going to tell every single one of you that's listening right now, your life gets worse the day after. There's just an op-ed that came out in the New York Times. I'm going to talk a bit about it today on my show. But I believe it was a Fortune 50 CEO. So like one of the top 50 CEOs of the largest companies in the United States said in the op-ed that CEOs of these huge companies are totally afraid of Trump because they recognize that the system might actually be broken. You can't make money if we're living in an authoritarian state. That ain't capitalism, right? If you start us down the line of the destruction of these institutions, that does not work with and is not compatible with capitalism. So if you're a free market fan, watch out. That isn't what they're selling. They're calling it that, but it's not. It's the picking of winners and losers. And that all depends on who's in power in the White House.
And that's one of the things we're talking about earlier is that, you know, he got it right up in front of billionaires' faces and says, give me money, I'll do what you want. Or if you don't vote for me or if you don't make me win, you should be fired. And my point was, if he will talk to the 1% of the 1% like that, imagine just the nothing we are to him and the nothing we are to the people who will enforce these rules, which will most likely become laws. And when you talk about things like, you know, what about fraud? There won't be charges of fraud anymore because the courts won't charge. They won't do anything. They will be appointed by as in afraid of losing their job. So anyone can, like, at least in the government, can do whatever they want because there will be no consequences. And we already see there are no consequences, but even more so in this system.
Well, and no guardrails.
No.
Exactly. All the guardrails will be removed and replaced with loyalists. Like you said, Maggie, someone pointing out, hey, let's think about what if we do A, what is this going to mean further down the road?
Like, and work through the entire equation and the dominoes. Let's not be so limited. Let's not be so tribal. This matters to everybody. And guess what? As with every single political policy and argument that has ever been had in this country, things will go wrong. It's government, right? And guess who bears the brunt when things go wrong? Working people like you and me, as well as the poorest of the poor folks. That is the way that it will go. The one percenters and the Donald Trumps who grew up with silver spoons stuck up their rear ends, they won't be paying the price. No. You and I will, the regular folk.
Well, ultimately, I think they will pay the price. But initially,
it'll take a while.
It'll take a while. But look at Vladimir Putin's close friends and how that's all worked out over the decades for them. A lot of them had bad things happen with Windows.
On board or dead.
Yeah,
none of his friends can fly.
Amazing. John from Milwaukee has been very patient on the line. Good morning, John. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say about Project 2025?
Good morning. Hey, I was interested in your discussion about that Mr. Roberts. I actually saw that program, and they asked him if Biden won the election. And he said, well, he's the president. You know, he wouldn't admit to it. And then they asked, he claimed a lot of fraud. And he was asked from the Heritage Papers how much fraud there was since 1982. And he didn't answer. And so she read it off the sheet. It was 1,513 cases of fraud since 1982, 22 years. And the guy said, well, that's because the Democrats are really good at hiding fraud.
Yeah.
Just absurd, unprovable denial. And I was just stunned by this guy's audacity to just claim things.
Absolutely, John. And we do actually have that clip. Thank you so much for calling and thank you for listening. Kevin, let's play that clip from Kevin Roberts again from over the weekend on MSNBC about accepting the election results for the November election.
Alicia just asked, is your organization going to accept the results of the 2024 election, regardless of the outcome?
Yes, if there isn't massive fraud like there was in 2020.
What does that mean?
If there isn't massive fraud.
Do you believe that there was not massive fraud?
There was massive fraud. We have an election fraud database that has documented that over years. By the way, the Heritage Foundation has been concerned about election integrity for decades, not just about 2020. We've been documenting this problem for a very long time. And if the one of the
I believe, according to the Heritage Foundation, sir, there by your count, Heritage Foundation has done an investigation, and according to your count, there have been 1,513 proven instances of voter fraud across the United States. Huh. Since 1982.
That doesn't seem like enough votes to swing an election for some reason.
No, there isn't. And there, if you go on the Brennan Center of Justice, they do a lot of work in this. They've done a lot of studies on voter fraud, and they have proven over and over again that there is not enough voter fraud for it to be a problem. It should be investigated. It should be taken care of. But it's certainly not something that has to require something like this, especially things like voter ID. But that's a different discussion. But over and over again, it's said that this is not the country-destroying problem that the Trump Party has said it is.
But yeah, the MAGA cult. Let's be clear about what's happening here. Mr. Roberts knows that what he just said on national television is a lie. Now, I don't know what's wrong with the FCC, but why is it okay to lie about that all the time on national television? Setting that aside, why is he lying, right? He is lying because that lie motivates the MAGA cult to vote. That is why a man who is unquestionably probably a genius level thinker, an incredibly smart person if he's leading the Heritage Foundation, that is a conservative think tank, they hire PhD. This is a smart, smart man. That's why he's lying, because it is overt manipulation. So, and I'll say this. I represented Milwaukee County's Elections Board in the 2020 recount. I have seen ballots hand counted. I've seen ballots challenged. I've seen ballots challenged based on every single legal argument that Donald Trump's campaign could bring. I've watched machines count ballots. I've watched machines and then humans count that same stack of ballots. I can tell you, it ain't pretty. It is slow and painstaking. There is no fraud. There is no irregularity. There's no intentionality. This is not a thing. The system is so diffused of power that it is not possible. It's a lie.
We're going to keep this conversation going with Maggie Dawn, the host of the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. across Civic Media. Stay close. Jack, I see you on the line. Please stick around. We will be right back. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now it's been 10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Ball.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie and Brian break down the news about Julian Assange and take lots of calls from inquisitive listeners.
Take me down.
Welcome back, everybody. Chatting about Julian Assange, hero or villain. But I think what the discussion with all of you and Brian and myself has shown is it's not just about Assange, right? This really gets us to some pretty deep questions about government actions, government accountability, especially when we're talking about the military and intelligence apparatus. Helen, she's on 94, headed to Cedarburg. Welcome to the show, Helen. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hi, thanks. I feel very strongly that we have the right to know. We have the right to decide. And we means that we citizens. And in order to do that, we need a free press, which is guaranteed in our Constitution. The free press is the fourth estate. It's equal to, it has equal rights to the other powers of our government. And I feel like Assange has been made a victim for many years now. In fact, I believe his mental health is in question. If he deserved any punishment, he's had it. But the main point is that you said, who has the right to decide? And that is, we do.
Thanks so much, Helen. I really appreciate the perspective. Please drive safely. Just as a point of note, Assange did have a small stroke while he was incarcerated. I also want to make note of this, lest we simplify in any way, shape, or form who or what Julian Assange is or represents. Again, he had sought sanctuary for years in Britain in the Ecuadorian embassy, not just because of the United States indictment of him, but because he was also trying to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he faced accusations of sexual assault. So I just, again, there's no simple way to view Julian Assange. With that being said, let's take a listen to what human rights lawyer Jennifer Robinson said of the prosecution by the U.S. government just yesterday, I believe.
Today is a historic day. It brings to an end 14 years of legal battles. And finally, after 14 years of legal battles, Julian Assange can go home a free man. Julian has suffered for more than 14 years because of the risk of extradition to the United States. He faced 175 years in prison for publishing evidence of war crimes, human rights abuse, and US wrongdoing around the world. Today, he pleaded guilty to an offense for having published information in the public interest, for which he's won journalism awards the world over and been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize every year for the past decade.
Talk about some deep thoughts. Julian Assange, possible Nobel Peace Prize winner,
And again, that was his lawyer, human rights lawyer, Jennifer Robinson. Julian Assange is an Australian national. So let's take a listen to what Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said today about Mr. Assange.
And my government advocated strategically, patiently, in a calibrated way, and we achieved this outcome. My job is to advocate for Australian citizens. Chang Lei is home. Sean Turnell is home. One of the things that my government does is at times as well, we don't shout. We're not in a contest of machismo. What we do is we get things done.
Isn't that interesting? We're not in some sort of weird machismo. I love how he says it, machismo showing here. We advocate for our citizens. Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero, on today's show. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We got just a few minutes left before top of the hour. You want to get your opinions in 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi. I kind of am coming in from a different slight because I studied that Edward Snowden. That kind of makes me think yes. that there is a little bit of a, right? Like,
say
I
that
feel
again.
Like these people, that, yeah, like they went, they try to bring things out that were hidden and whistleblowers. And, you know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more today. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Oh, well, thanks. Karen, I'm going to give you like two snaps up for a couple of things. First of all, we love new callers and listeners. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about. Yes, this brings up the case of Edward Snowden, who I believe is still effectively on the run. The guy had to live in Russia for a while. I mean, there's lots here. I thought we could also take a quick listen before I give you my final thought on this to what Gabriel Shipton, Julian Assange's brother, had to say yesterday.
Speaking in Parliament, Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong.
The Prime Minister and I have been very clear that Mr. Assange's case is dragged on.
Yeah, as Julian's family, we're overjoyed, we're overwhelmed that he is finally free. This has been an incredibly long campaign. His health has been deteriorating. He has a few different conditions health-wise. But I think now's a chance for him to rest and recuperate. I hope there's a few people out there who are going to have a beer tonight and celebrate Julian's freedom. We're looking forward to welcoming Julian back to his family in Australia. And really, I think his freedom is the main thing.
All of this, thank you all for the great conversation and all of the calls, text messages, and thoughtful commentary. There is so much to do here. My final thought on this issue is this. We listened to what Donald Trump had to say when a whistleblower exposed his attempted extortion of U.S. ally Ukraine. We heard what he had to say. He said, "We kill them." I think what we can all agree upon is that that is wrong, that Donald Trump is wrong, that no matter who decides, we don't want it to be Donald Trump, that no matter who's going to control the military or make life or death decisions about U.S. foreign policy, it can't be, it shouldn't be, it must never be Donald Trump again, because he knows no American interest. He knows only his own self-interest. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. When we come back, we're going to be welcoming one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Polsowitz. We're going to talk about all of the crazy things that are happening from the Supreme Court. Hold on to your hats, folks. It's only getting worse from here. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news, weather, and sports are up next.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.